continue. Of course, Dave's already mentioned it, but last week we didn't have the internet or recording devices being used. And so this is message 3 of the series, but message 2 is not available. You had to be here. But we are going to today we're going to continue, and we're considering one of the 3 of our spiritual enemies as revealed in Scripture. So we're considering the world system. The other 2 spiritual enemies, as revealed in Scripture, of course, are the sin nature, the flesh, and Satan. Now remember, a spiritual enemy is one or something that actively entices one through strong desires to sin or act independently of God. And so when we're talking about the world system, it's hard to describe the world system because it entails so much. But it's an organized system. It's an organized system that functions within every human society. And so we mentioned this last week, and it includes government, education, false religion, commerce, industry, entertainment, music. And so when we start to think about all these things and how they interact, it really affects how we buy and sell, how we communicate, how we travel, how we relax. And so it's an organized system, though, that influences how people go about their lives and how we function in society. And so I'm trying to think of different ways to describe it so we can understand kind of what it is that we're talking about. And last week we looked at the word cosmos, or that's translated world, and we considered some of its different uses, and it's used in a number of different ways. And we noted that the base meaning of cosmos, though, it carries the idea of well-arranged or an ordered structure. And the 2 uses that we're focused on here for this series is where the word is used of the system that organizes unsaved humanity in every human society. And so it's a system that organizes, if you will, and it's made up of the unsaved. If we didn't have unsaved humanity, there wouldn't be a world system to be organized. And so when it comes to the Christian, though, this system can entice us to be distracted, to get caught up in what's going on, to act independently of God. And so we also noted last week that this world system, it's being orchestrated or organized by an individual. And so you might say this is the ultimate conspiracy theory. but we have an individual who's behind the orchestrating of the system. And that person is Satan. And so Scripture reveals that he's the prince of it, or the ruler of it. And we mentioned this last week, but he's the ruler of the world system, the commander of it. Let's just go back and we'll just do a little bit of review, since we won't have last week as a reference. But you can see this in the upper room in John 14:30. Here the Lord says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me." And so he's referencing Satan here, And you can go back to John 13:27. You can see Satan entered into Judas. And so a lot of times we'll see scripture speaking in reference to Satan, or Satan being referenced through a person or an entity that he's energizing. And so he says the ruler of this world, the ruler of this world system is coming. And so he is the ruler. He's the commander. And as we mentioned last week, he has his lieutenants. And those would be demons. But then he has his subjects, which are the unsaved. And so he's the ruler of the system. He's the one who's orchestrating it. Now we also mentioned, and let's just go to John 16:11. You see, the commander, the ruler of this world system is judged. He's judged, but he's not yet defeated. In other words, the judgment hasn't been carried out. So that's important for us to know. And so you see in John 16:11, of judgment because the prince or the ruler of this world is judged. And so he does stand as judged, but he's not yet defeated in the sense that the judgment hasn't been carried out. And so these are all things that are important for us to have an understanding when we start to talk about the world system. We start talking about some of the nuances of how the world system can get us sidetracked. One of the things that we'll see, and then over the next couple of weeks, is the world system is, Satan is busy with the world system. He's got a lot going on. There's a lot to see and to take in and to get caught up in. But scripture tells us that there's something else going on that's much more important. And it has to do with this age, and it has to do with God's sons or children and Satan's children or sons. And so there's something being played out, and the world system just happens to be the environment that it's being played out in. That's what scripture is going to show us. The world system would have us think that there's some play happening, and so you see Satan as the organizer of it, as the commander of it. He doesn't mind pitting his own against each other because it can work to his advantages, towards his purpose. It can keep people focused. It can keep people occupied. And it can be an illusion. It can be a distraction. It's like the Wizard of Oz, who's behind the curtain, and he's doing all of these things to create all of this hoopla. And he's working really hard to do it. But it's a little bit of an illusion. It's a lot of hoopla. What's really going on is what God's doing with his children in contrast to what Satan is attempting to do. So so I'm giving you a preview of where we're kind of going. I want to continue today to consider the ruler of it, the commander of it. And going forward, we're going to consider the age of it, the age of the world system. And then eventually, you know, I'm going to get down to the foundation of it and the beginning of it, and we'll look at some of those things. And so let's pray, and we will continue today with considering some things about the commander, the ruler, the prince of this world system. Father, we do thank thee for the opportunity today to be together and to be in your word. And we pray you continue to use these times for our growth and your glory. And we would thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. And so last week we noted that all of unsaved humanity and the world system lie within the authority of the devil. Let's just go back to 1 John chapter 5. So in 1 John chapter 5, and let's just verse 18, 1 John 5, 18. And so we know, here John says, we factually know that whosoever is born out from God sinneth not. It just doesn't habitually sin or continuously sin, habitually sin. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that evil one, the malignant evil one, touches him not. And so we know, and this would be a reference, a title to Satan as the malignant evil one. And he cannot, there's a lot of things that are in the realm of his authority, but he cannot touch a believer. He cannot indwell a believer. And he goes on in verse 19, and we know, again, this is factually know, we factually know that we are out from God. And it's the ek preposition. Out from God is the source. And the whole world lies in the wicked one. It just lies. And we mentioned this last week. This word lies has the idea of to be in the lying position, to recline. It's used of the infant Jesus lying in a manger. I think that's Luke 2:12. And here he's using a present passive, and he's saying just that the whole world lies, or is, and we could translate this present passive verb here as being laid, as being reclined, if you will, by not the wickedness, in wickedness, it's just, it's articular, and it's, again, it's this reference to the person, it's the evil one. The whole world is being laid or reclined, and I think Dr. Schaefer used to like to reference, it's being rocked to sleep. It's being put into a reclining position and rocked to sleep like a little baby. And so the whole world system, though, it's being laid down, it's being reclined by the evil one, the malignant evil one. And so we see that here. We also referenced last week that he's referred to as the prince or the ruler of the authority of the air. And so let's go over to Ephesians in chapter 2. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be back. A lot of these verses are things I'm kind of feel like I'm going to be surveying through some of these things that we'll be coming back to at some point in the future and going over a little more in detail. And Ephesians 2:2 is one of those verses because it references the age here. And unfortunately, in your King James, it's you don't have age translated. In verse 2, they translate the word, unfortunately, course, but it is age. It tells us something about this age. I believe the age he's referencing here in Ephesians 2:2 is the present evil age. And it tells us something about the present evil age in reference to the world system. Now, let's just back up to verse 1, and you can see he's talking about initial salvation prior to these folks being saved. He says, in you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according or just measured by the age of this world. And so that tells us something about this present evil age, the age of this world, the world system. And I will just say this for now, and we'll come back to it when we start looking at some things about the present evil age. But this, the world system has special prominence, if you will, in this present evil age. And we'll just put it that way. He says, where in times past you walked according to, or are measured by the standard of the age of this world, according to the prince. And that word prince is the word that we've mentioned. It can be just translated ruler. Measured by the ruler of, not the power, of the authority of the air. And so here we're looking at a reference to Satan as the ruler of the authority of the air, the first heaven, the atmosphere, the earth. And I think about this a lot of times. I don't know why every time I come to this verse and I read the ruler of the authority of the air, I always, the rapture always comes to mind to me here. And the reason I think of that is because we're going to have a meeting in the air. And what is that going to announce? It's going to announce something to Satan that there's going to be a new sheriff soon, that judgment is going to begin to be enacted. He's already been judged, but he hasn't been defeated. The rapture is going to be the very beginning, of the announcement that judgment is about to begin. And so he's the ruler of the authority of the air. Well, the rapture is going to happen right through his realm of authority. And I don't have the rapture in this verse, but I'm just sharing this with you when I read this. This always comes to mind to me. It's just the spirit. So, and we're talking about a spirit being the spirit that now worketh, operates. He's operating. He's energizing in the sons of disobedience. Now, we're going to come back to that a little bit later, but the sons of disobedience. Satan has his sons. His sons are ones that are a position of privilege and that are carrying out his will. It's interesting. It says sons of disobedience. There's a certain sophistication to their disobedience. And so that's something that we'll see when we start to look at some things regarding the age and what's being played right now, being played out in time right now, according to God's plan. And so, anyway, he's referenced here as the ruler, the ruler of the authority of the air. Now, God's still sovereign. But what I want to point out here, so that's important as we go through this. Yes, he's the ruler, he's the commander, but God's still sovereign. There's still boundaries. This authority that Satan has, though, as the ruler of the air, the ruler of the world system, it's temporary. It's temporary. Now, we also saw, and I'm going to just go back here, and we also know that the world system is passing away and it will be destroyed. I'm not going to show you that today. But last week we saw that in the temptation of Jesus, we saw that the devil had authority to offer the kingdoms of the world. So I want to go back there and I want to make sure that you note an adjective that's used. And so this is just for, emphasizing a point, just putting some of these things to mind. Let's go back. So we got to go to Matthew 4, right? And then Luke 4. So let's go to Matthew 4. And in Matthew 4, we want verse 8. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and he shows him some of the kingdoms of the world. I want you to notice the word all. All. He shows him all of the kingdoms of the world, of the and the glory of them. Not some of them minus the United States or whatever kingdom you might want to think that he wouldn't have authority to offer. It says all of them. All of them. They're all part of his system. He's the commander, the ruler. He's the one who's orchestrating. Let's go and let's see if how Luke might phrase that. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. And we'll just pick up in verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, he showed unto him some of the kingdoms of the inhabited world in a moment of time. And I read that wrong. It is the word here, the word world is, it's not cosmos, looking at the orderly system, but it's the word that we just translate inhabited world. But he showed him all of the kingdoms of the inhabited world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this authority I will give thee. And so it's all within his authority under God's sovereign rule. But that's interesting to think about that. Because there's a lot of kingdoms, right? See, a lot of conflict. The unsaved are Satan's children. They're his kingdoms. Boy, you shouldn't really have problems with between kingdoms, right? That's not how Satan operates. Satan likes conflict. He likes tension. It helps to create the hoopla. It helps to create the illusion that there's a lot of things going on out here and there's something for everybody to get fired up about and to, you know, get their attention focused on. And it can be interesting. But for the Christian, it can potentially get your focus to the place where you're putting things above the will of God, what God's plan is, what God's doing in time, what he has for you. And so here we can start to see, I think, how the world system can be a subtle enemy. When we start to understand who the ruler of it is, who's organizing and orchestrating it. Well, when, what are his purposes? What are his purposes? But think about that. Satan is the authority behind all human government. It's within his realm of authority. Now, there's other places we can demonstrate that God is sovereign. There's boundaries. Things aren't going to happen beyond what God's going to allow, or the time frame with when God is what He's set. For one, we presently have the restrainer on earth. Satan's not going to be able to reveal his man of lawlessness until God says, come home, and removes the church and the Holy Spirit from planet Earth. Now, coming back to the commander or the ruler of the world system, what are some of the objectives of this person? We know that he's a spirit being. He's known primarily today as, you know, the devil or Satan, but he's formerly was known as Lucifer, the anointed cherub, who governed really the universe under God from his place here on earth. And so earth was the governmental center of the universe, and Lucifer was the highest ranking created being in the universe. Now, his fall Cain, interestingly enough, he's the highest ranking and most perfectly created being. His fall came due to his lack of contentment and pride. Think about that. Where he was as far as the highest ranking created being. Yet he could look at God and say, yeah, I guess I still have more I could climb. That's a lack of contentment. Then he thought he had the ability to do it. Shows a little bit of pride. But that was his downfall. And when we come to Scripture, and we mentioned this, is a number of times in Scripture, Satan is being addressed through a third person that he's energizing. And so let me just show you that as an example in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, let's see, do I have this right? We'll just look at verse 22, and you can see here. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." He had talked about his coming death and resurrection. And so Peter responds in verse 22. And then in verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." And so Satan was energizing Peter. And the Lord addressed Satan, who was behind Peter's actions here. He says, "Thou art an offense unto me, and thou think the things that not that be of God, but those that be of men." So I just wanted you to see this example, because when we're going to go into our Old Testament in a couple places, and if you can see that when we go back into the Old Testament, we're going to look at a couple places where Satan is being spoken of, or Lucifer is being spoken of, as the one who's behind the authority. In our first passage, we're going to go to Ezekiel 28, verse 11 and following. And here we see that God is speaking about the authority that's behind the king of Tyre here. And so it's looking back in time at the anointed cherub. But it's addressing him as the power behind the throne, if you will. Now, there's a couple ways you can easily demonstrate this, that it cannot be referencing the king of Tyre himself, the human, because we have the word created used a couple times in this context. And so you'll see the word created used two times, in verse 13 and verse 15. And that can't be used of a human, because only Adam and Eve were created. All of humanity since then has been generated, not created. And so let's pick up in Ezekiel 28, verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God." And so here we're going to see, if you will, God's opinion in regards to the power or the authority of the person behind the king of Tyre. He says, "You, let's see, sealest up the sum." Just, "You are the seal of perfection." is kind of probably how I would translate this Hebrew. The seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You has been in Eden, the garden of God. And so this is looking at the anointed cherub before the first universal flood, when Satan had a rock garden in Eden. And it says, thou has been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. So here we see he had a rock garden. And it says, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. And so here we see the word created. That tells you right there that he's not speaking of the king here, the king of Tyre. And then he says, you are, or I'm just translating, you were the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set you so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, talking about the government of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, just the midst of the stones of the fiery fire, the fiery stones. And so Satan had a place here in the rock garden, and he was an anointed cherub, and he was a shining one, and this rock garden was part of the setting, and reflected, if you will, his shining, his glory. And then he says in verse 15, and I would say you were perfect in thy ways. And the word perfect here has the idea of complete, sound, free of blemish, blameless. He says, you were perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. As far as, so now this next clause tells you, till or as far as, and the King James says iniquity, but it's just as far as or up till, unrighteousness was found in thee. So he's talking about the anointed cherub who had a rock garden here on earth, and so he was the sum of creative perfection, if you will, up until unrighteousness was found in him. But then he goes on in verse 16, but the multitude, the idea of multitude, the abundance of thy merchandise or trade or traffic, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. So he became corrupted. And thou has sinned. It's an imperfect thou. He's proceeded to sin. And remember, sin is an action. Now we're going to be going to another place in the Old Testament that tells us five trespasses that he had. But his sin would have been trying to move his throne from earth to the third heaven. And therefore, picking up in verse 16, says, I will cast thee as profane, just polluted, out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they will behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude, or again, or the abundance of the iniquities. This word for iniquities here is a different word. It's not unrighteousness. This would be perversities. The abundance of your perversities. By now, this word would be unrighteousness, the second iniquity. The unrighteousness of thy trade, traffic, merchandise. He had something to peddle. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. Kind of the idea that the fire of ambition is kind of how I understand this word by context. He's talking about bring forth the fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, never shalt thou be any more. And so, quite a statement to the covering cherub from God through this prophet speaking to him as the power behind the king of Tyre here. And so, we get a little bit of an idea about the ruler of the world system, the commander. Now, if we go back to Isaiah, we're going to have a similar thing where we have speaking to the power behind the future king of Babylon in Isaiah chapter 14. And here we have the five I wills of Lucifer that corrupted him. He corrupted himself with these. So in Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll just pick up in verse 12. Now, it's interesting that these verbs are imperfect verbs. And so what the imperfect means, it's just incompleted action. This is what Satan is saying he's going to proceed to do, if you will. And so in Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heavens, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And so Lucifer, the shining one, the day star, he says, how art thou cut down or hewn down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? The word weaken has the idea to prostrate, to lay low, to subdue. The nations. Then in verse 13, he goes on, he says, for thou hast said in thy heart. Now, only God could know this. He's omniscient. Created beings can't read minds. They can guess, but they can't see the thoughts. God can. And so here we see, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heavens. And so I will proceed to go up in the Hebrew into the heavens, plural. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And so I just hear this Hifil. He says, I will raise myself above the stars of God. So now the stars, the starry spaces, that's in the second heavens. He's talking about entering into the third heaven. I will set upon or in the mount of congregation, just the mount of meeting, in the sides of the north. The Hebrew word for sides, it literally means the flanks, but it can have the idea of like the far recesses. So that's how I kind of understand it here. He's saying I will sit upon also, you know, I will sit also in the mount of the meeting in the recesses of the north. Now, I think he's talking about the third heaven, the recesses of the third heaven, the far reaches, if you will, of the north. Now, so there's three of his I wills. He says, I will ascend in verse 14. I will ascend, again, the same word, to kind of go up above the heights of the clouds. The clouds here, probably speaking of the clouds of glory of God in the third heaven. And so I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then it's interesting, the last I will here in verse 14. He says, I will be like the Most High. Now, and I don't want to talk a lot about the Hebrew grammar here, but this is a hithpel, so it's reflexive. And it's an imperfect. So what Satan is saying here, he says, I will make myself, or I will proceed to make myself like the Most High. Now, that's important because we want to know, well, what are some of the stated objectives of the commander of the world system? Because when we get to taking a look at the age, we can kind of get an idea of what's being played out and how he might be using the world system. And so here we see his some of his stated objectives as revealed by God. And only God could know this because he said this in his heart. Now, he has done things that, you know, would show this through actions. Again, we start to see some things about the person who is the ruler or the prince of this world system. Now, he's no longer known as Lucifer. He's got a number of titles. All of the titles tell something different about him. The two most prominent titles that we see in Scripture in the New Testament are going to be the devil. The diablos, or diabolos, which just literally means the slanderer, the accuser. And then the other title is as Satan. Satan, literally the adversary, the enemy. So he's the adversary of God and of God's children. And so we need to know that when we're talking about the world system and who the commander is. It'll help you to see things the way they really are. Now let's just, now I mentioned he is judged. But he's not yet defeated. Let me just, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And I'm going here because I have both titles used in reference to this person. And so in Revelation chapter 12, and this puts us in mid-trib. And let's just look at verses 9 and 10. And the great dragon was cast out, that old or ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So here you see a reference to his activity. It sounds like a lot of work, but I don't think he minds that work. kind of fits with his character of being a slanderer, an accuser. Let's go over to Revelation 20. And let's just look at the first few verses in chapter 20, Revelation 20. Let's just read. We'll have both of our titles in verse 2. I'll just pick up in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit or abyss, and a great chain in his hand. And so this is looking at the 1,000-year period after the tribulation, and he lay hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and even the Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little time. So his time of deceiving will be prevented during that 1,000-year period, but he's going to be loosed one more time before he finally will be thrown into the lake of fire with the first and second beast of Revelation. And so he is the adversary of God and of God's children. Let's just look at a couple places and just keep this in mind. Let's go over to 1 Peter. And I'll have to and 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 8. So it's interesting, the titles. When you see the titles, they always give information, but here he's referred to as the devil, the slanderer, the accuser, when that's, this term is being used. But then we also see here he's your adversary. It's pretty specific. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walk about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast by the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so it's interesting, he brings up in the world in reference to Satan's authority. That's the realm of his authority. But be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2:26. I'll pick up in verse 24 for a little context. Roman says, "And the slave of the Lord must not battle, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patience." In meekness, or by meekness, fruit of the Spirit, by the way, an aspect, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth, and to the idea of a full experiential knowledge of a quality of truth, and that they may recover themselves out from the snare of the devil. So out from the snare, that which, that word snare has the idea that which captures and holds fast. And so they recover themselves out from the snare of the devil. The word devil has the idea, the title devil has the idea of the slanderer, the accuser, who are taken captive by him, not at his will, but just into the desirous will of that one. Taken captive by him into the desirous will of that one. And so again, a reference to the devil. Now, when it comes to Satan, that reference, just that title, was emphasizing the fact that he's an adversary, an enemy. We'll just go to maybe one reference. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's just look at verse 13 and 14 here. Now remember, in Paul's time during the transition, and we had apostles. You had the spiritual gift of apostle operational. And for such are false apostles. So there were false apostles. There were counterfeits, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, or just transforms himself. The idea of transforms or disguises himself into an angel of light. An angel of light. Now, as the shining one, he probably has to do something with that luminance. But here you see he transforms himself. He disguises himself into an angel of light. Then he says in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, these would be professing believers, counterfeits, also be transformed, or being, they transform themselves, they disguise themselves as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so, again, an illusion. Deception. They're transforming themselves as servants of righteousness. That's an illusion. And so we'll be back to some of those things. I see my time is up, and so unless I pay Don off, I probably should find a way to cut it off here. But kind of where we're heading is we've considered who the ruler of the world system is, some of his objectives. Lord willing, next week, I'll pick up in this last section that I didn't get to today, where we want to look at the ruler of the world system. He has his children, and he has his sons. Now, God has chosen some out from the world system as his children. And all of his children are sons. All of God's children are sons by grace through placement into Christ. Satan, he has a lot of children. The world system is a system that's not based on grace. It's a work system. But he also has sons. But his sons are going to be ones that are going to have earned trust by doing his will, probably through works. And so there's a contrast that's going on. So next week we want to look at children and sons. And then we will begin to look at what's going on in this present evil age. And then from there, we'll be able to go back and come back to the world system, and we'll look at the foundation of it and some of the subtleties of it. And hopefully we'll have a clearer understanding, and we'll see things more and more the way God sees things. Because we can't trust the world system to help us see things the way they really are because of who's orchestrating it. Father, we thank thee for the day. We're grateful for your word, and we're grateful that we're your children. We thank you for grace, and we just pray that we continue to grow in grace and the experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.